Morning. Today's Daf in Shabbos is Daf Yud. We're beginning today on the bottom of Tesamid Beis. We are coming off the Mishnah on Daf Tesamid Beis. The Mishnah gave us a number of precautions, prohibitions that one is not allowed to do on an afternoon, on any given afternoon, so that to make sure that you don't miss Mincha. As we learned in the Mishnah, you shouldn't go for a haircut, and you shouldn't go to the Schwitz. Neither should you see how your leather is doing in the tannery, and you shouldn't eat, and you shouldn't sit down in judgment. The Mishnah says once you get to the afternoon point, so then there is a concern that you're going to miss Mincha, and these acts may get involved, and so therefore one should not start these acts. However, the Mishnah then also reported, however, im mafsikin, vim ischilu, if you do start these activities, ein mafsikin, so then you don't stop. Meaning you're allowed to engage in these activities. This is not a prohibition per se, but this is certainly a consideration. And obviously the Mishnah's point, as we made yesterday, is that you still have to gauge, meaning you can't miss Mincha, but in the circumstance where you've gauged that you're not going to miss Mincha, so if you have started, so then one doesn't have to stop. And then the Mishnah made a distinction between Shema and Shmona Esrei. Shema is a Din D'Oraisa. Shmona Esrei is a Din D'Rabbanan. The Gemara yesterday noted that our Mishnah seems to be going against Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said that it's usur. The person is not allowed to eat until he davens Mincha. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll just simply make a differentiation between Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about Mincha Gedola, meaning that's the earlier part of the afternoon, where there you have to take it under consideration, whereas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is talking about Mincha Ketana, now the afternoon is getting later. There are only 2.5 hours left of the afternoon, so there it's more than just a consideration. There you have to now take into serious account the fact that the time for Mincha is coming to a conclusion. And the Gemara went into yesterday, how is it that by Mincha Gedola these activities are going to take so long? So the Gemara gave two approaches yesterday. Either we're talking about, let's say for example, the haircut. We're talking about a very involved haircut. The Gemara described how one of the later Tanaim, actually the son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, got a really involved haircut. So that's one possibility. Or the other possibility, says the Gemara, is that we're talking about a normal haircut. It just happens to be that although a normal haircut takes a short amount of time, but scissors could break. In other words, it doesn't necessarily have to go as smooth as you expected it to go. The Gemara, we're going to start again at the bottom of the Gemara with the words Amar Abaye. I read this yesterday, but we're going to start. So we're on Tesamud Beis. We are about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Abaye. Hani Chavran Bavlai. So to our friends out in Bavel. Alamanda Amar Tefillas Arif is Rishus. So let's take each position regarding Ma'ariv. So if the position by Ma'ariv is that it's Rishus, literally that it's optional, Kevin Deshar Lehemen Alam Shachin Aleh. Once they untie their belt, so then we don't require them now to stop and dav ma'ariv, meaning that they can sit down and they can eat. Now, if you subscribe to the position that ma'ariv is a chova, it's an obligation. So the Gemara says, so at that point in time, you have to stop them. In other words, they have to, even though they untie their belt, they got to stop dav ma'ariv and then go back to and resume their eating. Okay. As we pointed out yesterday, a couple of exciting things from just this Gemara alone. Number one, we are revisiting the topic of whether Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chova. This was a major discussion debate back in Brachos. This debate raged so strong back in Brachos that there was a deposing of Rabbi Gamliel from his position because this issue was so hotly debated. Rashi over here, I made this point yesterday, but I'd like to reiterate it. It's such an exciting point. Rashi over here says, what's at the core of the debate whether Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chova? So Rashi says it actually connects to a Gemara that is geographically not that far away in Brachos. It's just one daf earlier. The Gemara in Brachos debates whether or not Tefillah is keneged Avos or keneged Karbanos. Is the directive, the obligation to daven, is that because our Avos davened, which the Gemara sourced all the psukim, Avram Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Ma'ariv, or, the Gemara says, is the institution of davening because of the Karbanos. There are two daily Karbanos, the Tamid Shel Shachar is obviously corresponds to Shachris, and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim corresponds to Mincha. What about Ma'ariv? There's no carbon at night? That's true, says the Gemara, but we do burn the fats and the limbs of any of the carbonates that were offered in the previous day. So the Gemara says, so Rashi over here writes that actually these two machloksim are interconnected. And Rashi says that if I subscribe to the idea that tefillos can I get avos, so then all three tefillos are going to be an obligation, including Maariv, meaning Yaakov is as much as an av as the other two. If, however, I subscribe to the position that tefillos can I get karbanos, so the burning of the fats and the limbs that are done at night, so that is a mitzvah, but it's not absolutely required. The avoda is not going to be ma'akev if I don't burn the fats and the limbs. So Rashi over here connects the two machloksim, and so that is one exciting idea. Another idea, which we didn't say yesterday, but we'll say today, is that when the Gemara goes over the side that Marv is a Rishus, so you can count on Tosos and Brachos made this point already a couple of times, and he says it over here as well. Rishus option doesn't mean over here that you can actually choose, should I dav Marv, should I not dav Marv, meaning even within the camp of Marv being a Rishus, but Tosos over here writes that you should dav Marv every night. It just happens to be that if there is any counter pressure against the Maariv, so then the counter pressure is going to be much easier to push off Maariv than in other circumstances. Then let's say against Shacharis or against Mincha. So Tosha says that the word Rishus over here doesn't mean you can choose. It just simply means that if push comes to shove, so Maariv is easier to push off than the other tefillos. Gemara continues. V'ha tefillos Mincha delkul amachovahu utaran im ischil em afsikin. Now the Gemara over here is a little bit confused, because even if we subscribe to the idea that Maariv is a chova, so what do we say? Okay, so even though you undid your belt, you're still going to be required to dav Maariv, because it's an obligation. The Gemara says, remember yesterday, by Mincha, we didn't say that you had to stop. In fact, we said that if you started, you can continue. The Amar Rabbi Chanina Mishiatir Chaguro, and Rabbi Chanina defined when that moment is that when you untie your belt. So by Mincha, which is an obligation, you untied your belt to eat, so you don't have to stop. You can now continue eating. And meanwhile, by Maariv, we just said that if Maariv is a chova, so then you're going to have to stop and eat. Well, what's the difference between Maariv and Mincha? If they're both chovas, so shouldn't the halacha be consistent? So the Gemara is going to give two answers as now we turn to the top of Yud Amud Aleph. Hasam lo shchicha shichros, hacha shchicha shichros. So one answer says the Gemara is as follows. In the afternoon, so it's not common for a person to get intoxicated. Meaning, remember, we say this all the time, the drink of choice back then was wine. So when you're having some sort of meal in the afternoon, so you may have a drink, but you're not going to get intoxicated. But at night, however, the Gemara says it's common. In other words, there's no more work to be done over the course of the day. So it's common that they would drink and they would get intoxicated. So now that informs the difference. When it comes to the afternoon, so you're not going to get drunk, so therefore if you start a meal, so you'll be sober enough afterwards in order to daven. By Maariv, however, if you start eating, so the probability is that you're going to get intoxicated and you're going to skip Maariv altogether. So that's one distinction. Interesting over here, the Gemara says in the afternoon you're not going to get drunk. So Tosus on the top of Yud Amud Aleph says, is that true? We know that on a fast day, well, us Ashkenazim aren't super sensitive, but on a fast day, so duchening, the Kohanim duchen, Shacharis and Mincha. Why? Because on a fast day, so nobody's eating and nobody's getting drunk, and therefore you could duchen. But on a regular given day, so the Kohanim duchen, Shacharis, and they'll even duchen Musaf, but that's it. They won't duchen after that. Why? Because then afterwards they're going to go home and eat, and the chances are they're going to get they're going to drink. And so as a result of that, one is not allowed to duchen during Mincha. On a fast day, when you're not eating, so then you could duchen. And all this is as per the Gemara in Tanis. Now, it's pretty clear that even in the afternoon, there is a concern for intoxication. And so Tosa says over here, we said that nobody gets intoxicated in the afternoon. And the Gemara in Tanis says, no, because people get intoxicated in the afternoon, so therefore there's a general ban of Kohanim duchening at Mincha. So Tosu says, oh, there are levels of intoxication. For duchening, the threshold, the sensitivity of being intoxicated is a much higher threshold. And so therefore Tosu says that for duchening, even if you just have one drink, right, Tosu writes at the very end of the first Tosos. I'm sorry, even if all you have is just but a revius, so you can't duchen. So over here we're talking about the kind of drunk where you're going to be totally forgetting tefillah altogether. So Tosfos says there are different levels of shechus. Second answer of the Gemara, inami b'mincha kevin tekviyah le'zimna mirsus v'lo asa l'mifshei. Arvis kevin tekulei leila is man arvis lo mirsus v'asa l'mifshei. A second distinction of the Gemara is that when it comes to mincha, so there's a set time when to daven mincha. You know that past sunset, one is not allowed to daven. So because you're bound by time, so therefore, even though you started your meal, you also realize that davening has a time in which it needs to be done. In other words, there's a built-in deadline to mincha. Masha'inkim, when it comes to mariv, so you have the whole night to daven mariv. So really, because of that flexibility, so therefore, there is nothing guiding you or telling you or informing you, hey, it's time to daven. So therefore, there's more of a concern of missing Mariv because of its lack of structure as opposed to Mincha, which has more structure, and therefore there's less of a concern that you're going to miss it. Maskev l'Rav Sheshes, Tirchusa l'Mesa Hemnuya. So Rav Sheshes says, I'm not really following this whole discussion altogether. Is it such a big deal to just simply put your belt back on? V'od l'Kohach v'Litzlei. And on top of that, furthermore, why not just simply daven? Meaning, what exactly is it that you just untie your belt and then all of a sudden you're free to go now? What's the big deal? So Mishum Shenemar, he called the cross Elokecha Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, we know that when davening requires preparation. Meaning, you just simply can't daven in an unbelted sense. Now the Gemara doesn't really address the second question. Meaning the second question of the Gemara is, well, just stop and daven. And the Gemara doesn't really address the second question. And let's do that again. The two questions of the Gemara are, is it a bother that your belt is removed? And on top of that, why not just simply daven? The Gemara's answering the second question, not the first question. The Gemara says, well, once your belt is off, he come across the Lokecha Yisrael. Well, you need to be belted in terms of davening. And Tosfos over here points out, you can see the second Tosfos on the Amud, V'lo chayish l'shnuya kusha kamaisa, and Tosfos notes that we really didn't address the first question, meaning if the only issue is that you don't have a belt on, so just put your belt back on. Now, it's true that without a belt you can't daven, but what's the big deal putting your belt back on? So Tosfos acknowledges that the Gemara really didn't address the first question. And Tosfos continues to write over here, Mikansha Tzarech Leizor Chalatzav Kishim Ispala. You got to wear a belt when you're davening, says Tosfos. Uva Machzer Vitri Mefarish the time the Be'in and Ezor. Now, why is the belt so important for davening? So Tosfos over here quotes Machzer Vitri. Machzer Vitri is an old, obviously, if Tosfos is quoting it, it's an old source book in terms of halachos regarding tefillah. Machzer Vitri is attributed to one of the students of Rashi. And so in explanation of why it is that you have to wear a belt while davening, so he writes, Shelo yehe libo rosa erva, because we learn back in Brachos that when a person davens, so he cannot be seeing his erva. And on top of that, his heart and his erva have to be divided from one another. And remember back in the day, it used to be that they wore these long robes. And so therefore, if you didn't wear a belt, so there would be a direct line of sight between your chest and your private area. And so in order to create a separation between the two, so you have to wear a belt. And then Tosfos continues, really interesting Tosfos. V'davka lohen shalai yela mechnasayim. L'kachi yitzrichim lachzor b'shas tefila. Aval lididan sheyesh lanu avnei shel mechnasayim einad nitzrichim le'ezor. So Tosfos says, okay, but now the mode of dress has changed. People now wear pants. Pants, by definition, are going to create a separation between the erva and the lave. And so Tosfos says, nowadays, there's no requirement to wear a belt. So really interesting Tosfos over here. Again, a later discussion amongst the later poskim, whether or not a belt is still at least recommended. And then another discussion in terms of whether or not one should have a specific belt when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei. And of course, we all know, we're all familiar, minhag amongst many chassidim, and even non-chassidim as well, is to have a special belt for davening, a gartel, But Machzor Vitri says that because the mode of dress has changed, so therefore there's no belt that's required altogether. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Avuna Rami Puzamki Umatzle. Rabbi Bar Avuna would put on special shoes in order to daven. In other words, because of this idea of Hikon Lekras Alkech Yisrael, so he would dress and he would dress nicely. And the Gemara here focuses on the shoes that he wore. Amar Hikon Lekras. Rava Shadiglima Upachiyade Umatzle. Rava, interesting, he had a different approach when it comes to davening. Shadiglima Rashi says he would take off his cloak. He did not want to seem important. Interesting, he went in the other direction. Rav Huna dressed up in order to daven. Rava dressed down. Now, when I say dressed down, I don't mean he went casual. It just simply meant that he wanted to look less chashuv. That's the way Rashi describes it. Uparcha yadei, Rashi says that what he would do is he would basically grip his hands together and like a person who was stressing and had tremendous anxiety. And that's what he would daven. Amar, back to the Gemara, ka'avda kamemare. I want to be like an eved in front of my master. And I don't want to seem like I'm so important. And so therefore, I will take off my distinguished robe and press his hands against one another as a sense of I'm a slave in front of my master. I'm Rav Ashi Chazin le'le Rav Kahana ki ikat sara ba'ama shtiglima parchiyadu matzle. Rav Ashi says that I saw Rav Kahana daven, and he would go with the latter approach of removing the cloak and pressing his hands one against the other when he would daven. Amar ka'avda kamemare. He says, I'm going to be like a servant in front of my master. Ki ika shama lavish umitkase umitate fumatzle. Now, when there was shalom in the world, so then he would put on his robe and he would be mitate. If he would cover himself in his talis. And that's how we would daven. Amri kon lekras alokach Yisrael. So really, the truth of the matter is that what he's now given us really is almost like a resolution of the stira. Meaning, it's almost like the Gemara is making a stira. Which way should I daven? Should I daven looking like a pauper and with stress and anxiety, or should I daven with distinguished look? And the Gemara is basically saying it depends. It depends in terms of what the world state is. If the world state right now is stressing and anxiety, happens to be we're there, so then one should have more of a tone of like an Eved. If, however, there's shalom in the world, so then you put on the distinguished clothing. Rav Chazal, Rav Amnuna, Tekam Arich B'Tzusei. Rav saw that Rav Amnuna had a particularly long Shmon Esrei. Amar Menichin Chai Olam V'Oskim Mechai Shah, and he reprimanded him, he rebuked him. He says, look, you're long Shmon Esrei. What are you doing? You're asking for things in this world. Okay, enough with things in this world. That's Chai Shah. Don't worry about your Chai Shah. Keep your davening shorter, so that way you'll be able to learn more. Now, V'huzah V'zman Tefillah Chud V'zman Tor L'chud. Now, as far as Rav Hamanuna is concerned, so he thought, look, the two don't encroach on one another. Meaning, davening also is a value. Meaning, Rav also thinks that davening is a value. But Rav Hamanuna says that, look, when you're davening, you're davening. When you're learning, you're learning. And they don't necessarily have to encroach on one another. And the amount that you allocate towards davening is fine in of itself. And you don't have to, while davening, have any regard for, am I taking away from my time for learning? Rav Yirmiyah Haviyasev Kamed Rebbe Zer V'Avaskev Shmaitei. Rav Yirmiyah was learning together with Rebbe Zer in front of Rebbe Zer, and they were learning a particular sugya. Naga Litzluye V'Akamisarev Rav Yirmiyah. It got late, and it was time to daven, and he saw that Rav Yirmiyah was basically itchy as he wanted to get to davening, and Rebbe Zer wasn't particularly ready to finish a shir anytime soon. So Karila Rebbe Zer, so Rebbe Zer says to Rav Yirmiyah, look, we're in the middle of shir. Let's focus on the shir. And the fact that you're running to davening, so he wasn't that excited about that. And he actually quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Meisir Azno Mishmo Torah, Gam Tfilaso To'eva. A person who moves his ears away from hearing Torah, so his tefillah is a To'eva as well. And Rav Zera reprimanded Rav Yirmiyah, and he said to him, look, you should, right now we're learning Torah, let's learn Torah. Now, it's not clear from the Gemara over here, Was Rebbe Zer ready to forfeit Zman in order so that they continue learning Torah? It's kind of hard to argue. The Gemara is not clear about that point, but certainly the simple sense that we get is that even for something like davening, if you're in the middle of learning right now, you should continue learning. And again, I'm not sure how much he was ready to forego in order to continue learning. Hard to say that he was ready to forego Zman Tefillah. Okay, we're going to go back now to what we discussed yesterday in terms of when you start an activity, so then at this point in time, you don't have to stop. And now the Gemara wants to know, when exactly is the haschala of a judgment? One position is that when they put the cloaks over their head, when the litigants start each one presenting their cases. Now the Gemara says, now there really is no debate over here. A distinction to be made between whether they already were sitting down in judgment, or this is the first case that they're hearing. In other words, if they're already sitting down in judgment, so they're already wrapped in their talus. So at that point in time now, we need a new marker to know when the next case begins. And that's when the litigants start presenting their case. However, if it's the first case of the day, so then the first action that is going to be done is by the judges, and that is they're going to put the talus over their head. What is so important about putting the talus over their head in order to indicate that they started the din? Really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Kishaposchim adin me'im ashchina v'shelo yifnu roshan lakan lakan uteidatam yushevas alayim. Rashi makes 2 points. One, says Rashi, is that there is emas ashchina, meaning the assumption is that when they're engaged in adjudication, so there is a presence of the Shechina, so they're putting the talus over their head because of that. Rashi also makes another point, and that is to be focused, meaning they want to basically have blinders on, so that the only thing that they're concentrating right now is on the case at hand. Going back to the Gemara, Rav Ami and Rav Asi would be learning between the pillars of the Beis Medrash, and then hourly they would knock on the door. Anyone who has any case will come in and will litigate. Meaning, perhaps the idea is over here is that nobody wanted to disturb them while they're learning. But if they made it a point that on a regular basis they would just simply knock and say, "Okay, we're ready to hear cases," so nobody would feel that they're interrupting them. Rav Chisda, Rabba, Rav Huna, Abba Yasvi, Bedina, Kula Yomei. Rabban and Rav Chisda would be judging cases the entire day. Havakachalush libayhu. Their hearts got faint. Rashi over here has 2 explanations of what that means. Rashi writes, Mitzarin shalo asku oso ayom b'torah, meaning that they spent the whole day judging and they spent no time learning. That's one explanation of Rashi. A second explanation, Rashi, which seems to be based on a slightly different girsa, is chalash dataihu. Their heads got weak, meaning they didn't eat because they were judging the whole day. So either way, in other words, they were disconcerted by the fact that they were judging the whole day. Tanlu Rav Chia by Rav Midifti. So the following was taught to them by Rav Chia. The pasuk says, "Vayamod ha'am al Moshe min haboker ad erev." We go to the beginning of Parshas Yisro. V'chi salal da'atcha shemoshe yoshev v'dan kol hayom kulo. Taraso masai nasis. Now, do you think for a moment that Moshe really judged the whole day? Because if you think that, well, Moshe also was responsible for the transmission of the Torah. There's no way that he was judging the whole day. Now, I know it's a funny assumption that Gemara makes. I understand. We all understand, right? Moshe's Torah obviously is significant. But the simple reading of the pasuk is that he judged from morning until evening. But because of this argument is so strong, there's no way that Moshe judged the whole day. It just simply is there to inform us that if a person judges and he judges dan emes lamito, it's a correct judgment. So he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in creation. So you see that judging and judging correctly is tantamount to Maisa Bracious. We become a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when we judge favorably. And so even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the point that he made is even Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not judge the whole day. And he told the Amoraim, it's not your responsibility to judge the whole day. Meaning start the day in judgment, but don't end the day in judgment. So now the Gemara says, okay, so now that we just learned together that you're not supposed to be judging the whole day, so when exactly is the end point? When should you stop judging? Amar Rav Sheshes Azman Seuda. So basically, when it comes time for the first meal, Amar Rav, and we'll discuss in just a moment when that first meal is. Amar Rav Chama Maikra Dechsev. And the Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Koheles, Eilecha eret shemakacha nar v'sarecha baboker yochlu. Ashrecha eret shemakacha ben chorim v'sarecha be'es yochlu begvura v'lo b'shti. The pasuk in Koheles says that for the land where its leader eats in the morning, woe to that land. But for the land whose leader, whose king, is eating at the appropriate time, that land is a fortunate land. And when we say gvura and shti, begvura shel Torah, v'lo b'shtia shel yayin. As far as gvura is concerned, we're talking about the gvura of Torah, and the shtia here means of wine. Meaning that basically when you have your first meal, so it's at that point in time, you're going to be, you're also going to have drink. Obviously that is, drink means wine. Wine means intoxication. So once you have that first meal, so that now is going to bar you, it's going to ban you from being able to judge anymore. So basically what the Gemara now has taught us is that a judge is going to be sitting in judgment from the morning until he has his first meal. Now clearly, back in the day, so breakfast was not a thing. Meaning the first meal of the day was sometime later in the day. When exactly is that first meal? We're going to learn together right now. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Shavri Shana Machaludim. The first hour of the day, so almost nobody eats at that first hour of the day. The only people who eat are the Ludim. Really interesting Rashi over here. Really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here regarding the Ludim, Uma Shekorim, cannibals. Now, not exactly, but Rashi's basically describing cannibals. Ochle Adam Hain, Vehem Rav Tanim. So the cannibals, and because they have such a ferocious appetite, so their diet is not restricted, and they'll eat pretty much anything, and because they have such a ferocious appetite, they're also going to be eating that first hour of the day. Okay. Next, Shnia Michaelistim, second hour of the day. So who's dining the second hour of the day? So those are the thieves. Shishas Michael Yorshim, the third hour of the day. So people who inherit money, right? They made money the old-fashioned way. They inherited it. So they're going to be eating the third hour of the day. Revius Michael Poalim, fourth hour of the day, the worker's going to eat. Chamish is Michael Koladam, and the fifth hour of the day, that's when everybody has their first meal. Fifth hour of the day, so we're talking about during the 11 to 12 hour. So that's when people are going to be having generally their first meal. Now the Gemara just simply quickly edits this. So the Gemara says, Rapapa taught us that the fourth hour of the day is when everyone's eating. Okay. So the Gemara just a quick editing. Fourth hour of the day is when most people are eating. Fifth is when the workers are eating. And the sixth hour is when the Tamidei Chachamim are eating. Okay. Mikan ve'elech, from this point going forward, kazorik even lechemes. Now, from this point going forward, meaning you should be eating by the sixth hour of the day. By noon already, you should be having, you should have had your first meal. If you don't, and then you only eat in the afternoon, it's like throwing a stone into a pitcher of wine, meaning it doesn't help. You should be having a meal by midday. So anyway, so let's put everything together. So we just learned together that typically speaking, a meal is had sometime in the late morning. For Talmidei Chachamim at the end of the morning. What comes as a result of this is that when a person should be sitting in judgment is basically from the morning until they have their first meal. So basically, morning time was the time that was devoted to judging. After that point in time, the courts are closed. Amar Rabbi Lamar Nela Delo Taimi Debitzafra. This idea that if you don't have your first meal until the afternoon, so that's really bad. The Gemara notes that's only if you didn't taste anything in the morning. But if you tasted something in the morning, now again, we'll call the breakfast, but not the breakfast that we're saying. We're just simply saying, the Gemara is saying that if you ate just any little amount in the morning, so then that holds you off so that your first meal can actually go sometime in the afternoon. Gemara continues now. Another halacha, where can a person daven? I know this Gemara sounds like it fits better in brachos. But look, we're obviously on the topic of davening, and so the Gemara speaks about now locations and appropriate locations in terms of where you could daven. A person can daven in the Beis HaMerchatz, in the Shvitz. Maze for the Gemara now is going to note that seems to be difficult based on a Braisa. We're going to be quoting the entire Tosefta. In order to understand this Tosefta, so just know that basically their Shvitz, much like our saunas, so there's the actual sauna room itself, where everybody there is not clothed. And then there was two rooms before that. The room immediately before that, so that was basically the locker room. Some people were clothed, some people were not clothed. And the room before that, the foyer, so the meeting room, so everybody there had clothing on. So there's these three rooms. And so the Bryce over here is going to go over the halachic status of all three of these rooms. Number one, Hanichnas lebeis hamerchatz makom she bnei adam omdim levushim. So if you go into the first room, everybody there has clothing on. Yesha mikra v'tfila. So you can say psukim, you could daven. Ein tzarech lomar shelo shalom. You could certainly greet your friend. Umeniach tefillin. You can put on tefillin. Ein tzarech lomar shenu chalotz. And certainly it goes without saying you don't have to take off your tefillin. Makom shebnei adam omdim arumim ulevushim. Now you go into the locker room. Some people are clothed, some people are not. Yesham shelo shalom. Now there you can greet people. Ve'ein sham mikra v'tfila. However, you can't say psukim, you can't daven. Ein ocholot tefillin. You don't have to take off your tefillin. Ein o meniach lechatchila, but you shouldn't want tefillin lechatchila. Now it's interesting over here. You don't have to take off your tefillin in such a room, but perhaps this goes back to what we learned back in Brachos regarding the general shmira that we're supposed to have regarding our tefillin. Remember back in Brachos we talked about walking with our tefillin into the bathroom, meaning take them off. But the from the Gemara's perspective, it was so important to go into the bathroom with tefillin, they held it in their hands. So over here, locker room, so don't put on your tefillin, but if your tefillin is on, don't take them off. It probably speaks to the idea of shmira. Makom shebnei adam omdim arumim. Now if you're actually in the shvi itself, everybody there is naked. Ein shem shelo shalom, there's no greeting over there. Ein tzarech lomar mikro tefila. And it goes without saying that you don't say psukim and you don't daven. V'chol et tefillin. You remove your tefillin if you have them on. It goes without saying you don't put your tefillin on. Okay. With all that stated, so what comes out now is there's a clear prohibition in this brisa that one is not allowed to daven when they're in the when they're in the bathhouse. And the Gemara started off the discussion by quoting Rav Adar Bar Abba that says that you are allowed to daven in the bathhouse. So kikama Rav Adar Bar Abba b'mercha shem bo adam. So the Gemara says, he was describing a bathhouse where nobody else is there. Nobody else is there, so then it would be okay to daven. V'ha amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina mercha shamar afa pi she'in bo adam, beis akisa shamar afa pi she'in bo tzawa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we also learned in the name of Rav Yosi bar Chanina that if the bathhouse, even though no one else is there, it's still not a respectful place to daven, and the bathroom is not a respectful place to daven, even if there is no waste in the bathroom. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a bathhouse that was constructed as a bathhouse, but has never been used. And since it's never been used, so it doesn't have any of that foul odor. So the Gemara says, Vahami bai baile Ravina. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is a question that Ravina posed. So this idea of hazmana, if I designate an area as a bathroom, so is that designation significant? Now, he asked a question. He didn't have the question resolved. And so by virtue of the fact that he didn't have the question resolved, so it sounds like it's a doubt and we should be machmir. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. So velo ifshite, he didn't answer the question. So lav hu adin lamerchatz. Now, he asked a question regarding a bathroom. But presumably, it's going to be the exact same question regarding a bathhouse as well. Lo. The Gemara says, maybe not. Dilma. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, Shani Beis Akisei Demais. So the Gemara says, no, the question was specific to the bathroom. The bathroom is a particularly dirty area, and even though it's never been used, but by virtue of the fact that it was designated as a bathroom area, so at that point in time, it's not appropriate area to daven, or at least possibly not an appropriate area to daven. But when it comes to the bathhouse, which is not as intrinsically as nasty a location as the bathroom, so maybe there, if all it was just simply designated as a bathhouse, but hasn't been used, so there, we're going to be mekel. Okay, so a distinction can be made between the two. As we continue now on the top of Yunamid Beis, Ein Sham Shelo Shalom, Misayel El Rav Amnuna, Mishmei De'ula. So the Gemara says that you don't extend greeting. So this supports that which was taught by Rav Amnuna. Da Amar Asa Ladam Shiten Shalom Chaver Bebeis Amerchatz. You're not allowed to extend shalom to your friend in the bathhouse. The pasuk in Shoftim, when they were greeting one another, Hashem Shalom, Gidon's greetings. Elamiata. So the Gemara says, really? So just because the word shalom is used in conjunction with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't use that in the bathroom, so the Gemara says, Hemnusa nami asala meimar. How about saying the word Hemnusa from the word Amuna? You mean to tell me that we can't use that word in the bathroom? So asala meimar beveis akisa dechsiv akela ne'amana. And the pasuk says Hakel Haneman. You see, Neman is used in conjunction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chite Machanami. The Gemara says maybe that's not the question. Maybe that's correct. Gemara says no. The Amar Rav Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav Shar LeMeimar Hemnusa BeBeis Akisei. The word Hemnusa or Emuna is a word that you're allowed to use in the Beis Akisei. So Hasam Shem Gufe Lo Ikre. Hacha Demetargaminan Elaka Mehemna Hacha Shem Gufe Ikre. Shalom Dichsi VaYikra Lo Hashem Shalom. So the Gemara basically makes a distinction between an adjective versus a proper noun. If something is used just simply as an adjective, so that's something where that is not a word that is barred or banned from used in the bathroom. So when using the word emuna, that's just simply a way we're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an adjective. It's not the shame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, that wouldn't be a problem. The word shalom, however, sounds like more like a proper noun. And so therefore, that's why the word shalom cannot be used in the bathroom. There is a discussion after the Gemara, beyond the Gemara. Shalom, the Gemara here is telling us, is not just an adjective, but a proper noun. Is shalom actually one of the Shemos Hashem? So this is a discussion amongst the poskim, exactly to what degree the word shalom is actually a Shem Hashem. Our Gemara certainly makes it sound like it seems to be a proper noun and a Shem Hashem, but it is other Gemaras do not speak to it as clearly that this is actually one of the Shemos Hashem. Amar when you write the word shalom, do you have to? Are you allowed to write the entire word out? That would be a nafkamina based on this debate. Continuing in the Gemara, for the remainder of the Gemara today, we're going to be quoting other halachas from the Baal Memra of Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav. Once we quoted one halacha that you're allowed to say the word emun in the bathroom, so now the Gemara is going to be quoting a series of other halachas, and this is how we're going to end off our morning. Amar Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav, Anosei Matan Lechaver Tzarech Lahodio. When you give a gift to somebody, you have to inform him that you are the giver of the gift. The whole point of a gift is to create relationships. And so there would be no point in building relationships if after you gave the gift, you remain anonymous. So therefore, you have to inform the recipient that you were in fact the giver. Tosfos over here points out, this is in contradistinction to tzedaka. By tzedaka, so here there's a notion that one should be discreet in giving tzedaka and not declaring who in fact was the giver of the tzedaka. But over here, when it comes to a gift, so the whole purpose of a gift is to engender reus between people, so therefore you should let him know that you are the giver of the gift. Shenem of the Pasuk says, Adaski ani Hashem mekadeshchem. And the Gemara quotes a Pasuk from last week's Parsha that teaches us that Kadosh Baruch Hu should allow us to know ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. Now what's that in relationship to? So as we're going to see in just a moment, it's in relationship to Shabbos. We're going to see the Brisa now that's going to spell this point out. I have a gift in my warehouse, and its name is Shabbos. And I want to give it to the Jewish people, and tell them, inform them that I'm going to be giving them the gift of Shabbos. And Rishim and Gamliel says, good. And so therefore, we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever we give a gift to somebody, let's say we give a loaf of bread to a child, so we have to inform the mother that we are the givers of that gift. And again, it's the idea that when you give a gift, it wants to engender friendship, and so therefore you have to inform them. Now, my Avidle, the Gemara has a number of follow-up questions. One, the Gemara says, when giving a loaf of bread to a child, so how do you let the mother know that you were the giver of the gift? So, Amar Abaye Shifle Mishchai, so the Gemara says that what you're going to do is you're going to take oil, rub some oil into his hair, or put some of the blue salve into their eyes. Okay, something that we're not used to, we're not accustomed to, but basically that lets the parent know that you were the giver of the gift. Now, not really sure how it is exactly that they know who gave it. Maybe there was some sort of signature application. Not really clear about that point, but the Gemara says that's one way you can let the parents know. Ve'ina decheshin l'kshafim mai. Now the Gemara says now nowadays we have this problem of kshafim. Apparently sorcery increased during the period of the Amoraim. And when the child comes home with some sort of blue in his eye, so the mother is not going to think to themselves, oh, my son was gifted the gift. They're going to think my son was involved in some sort of sorcery. So therefore, nowadays, what should be done? So Amar Papa Shaiflei Me'oso Hamin. Well, whatever you give the child, so just rub a little bit of it into his head, and that'll let the parents know that it was a gift. Again, not totally clear about how the parents are going to know who the giver is. Any of the Gemara says this is true. V'amar of Chamach Rabbi Chanina, Hanosei Matan L'Chaver Ein Tzarich La'Hodiyo. Now the Gemara says, well, you give a gift to somebody, you don't have to inform them who the gifter is. How do I know that? Shenemar Moshe Lo Yadaki Karan or Panav. So once again, we go back to last week's parsha. So Moshe comes down and he doesn't know that he's radiating. So B'dabro Ito. Sorry, at the end of the pasuk. So Lokasha, the Gemara says there's no discrepancy. Ha b'milsa de avida legluye, ha b'milsa de avida legluye. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to Moshe's radiance, so people are going to tell him, Moshe, you are glowing, and he's going to then, of course, know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the gifter. But when it comes to something where the recipient may not know that this was a gift, so therefore you have to let them know. So the Gemara says, wait one second. V'as Shabbos de avida legluye. So the Gemara says Shabbos, meaning we're not going to know that Shabbos was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe had to tell us. We're going to open up a Chumash, we're going to read the Chumash inside, and we're going to see that Shabbos was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Matan Tzchar Lo Avid Legluye. No. Of course, Shabbos itself, we're going to know that Hashem gave a Shabbos. We're going to know that. But what we're not going to know is the Tzchar, the immense Tzchar that one's going to receive for observing Shabbos properly. That's something with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you go tell the Jewish people, not just about Shabbos, but about the immense reward that's coming together with Shabbos. Rav Chista Havanakibi Adei Tarte Matanasa Deture. Rav Chista was holding in his hands Matnas Kahuna. We know that every time you shecht an animal, so you have to give parts of the animal to a Kohen. We're not talking about a carbon, we're just talking about a regular animal. This is Allah of Matnas Kahuna. At the end of Masechta Chulin, we discussed the Masechta dedicated an entire perek to this topic of Matnas Kahuna. And so therefore, Rav Chista, who presumably was a Kohen, and Rashi makes this point over here. So he was holding in his hand Matnas Kahuna. What exactly are the Matnas Kahuna? Zor Lachai V'Keva. The front right leg of the animal, Keva, the fourth stomach of the animal, and the Lachayim, the cheeks and the jawbone of the animal. So the Rav Chista was holding onto the Matnas Kahuna. And Amar Kalman Dasiv Amar Lishmaitita Chadati Mishmei Derav Yavin Alei Nialei. Now Rav Chista says, if somebody could tell me Halacha over in the name of Rav, now Rav Chista himself was a student of Rav. Either we could suggest that maybe this was after Rav passed away, or simply put, he just wanted to corroborate from other people, or he wanted to hear something new in the name of Rav. Either way, he wanted to hear Halachas in the name of Rav, and he said that anyone who tells me Halacha over in the name of Rav, so I'm going to give over my Matnas Kahuna. Now, he's allowed to do that. Matnas Kahuna don't have Kedusha. It's not like Truma. So Truma, the Kohen, can't share it with a non-Kohen. But when it comes to Matnas Kahuna, it is a Matana to the Kohanim, but it doesn't have inherent Kedusha. And the Kohen, once it was given to him, could do with it whatever he wants and share with it whomever he wants. So Amalei Rava Bar Mechasya Hachi Amar Rav Hanose Matan L'Chaver Tzarich La'Hodiyo. So he says over a halacha in the name of Rav, and he says that the halacha that we just learned together, that when you give a gift to somebody, tzarech lahodiyo, you have to inform the recipient that you're the gifter. Shenem ladas ki ani Hashem kadoshchem. And going through the entire limud we had just regarding Shabbos. So yavani alei. So he was so happy. Rav Chista was so happy. So as promised, he gave his matanos to the person who told him the halacha in the name of Rav. Amar chaviven alach shmaitet to the Rav kulehai. And the person was amazed. Like, you really love halachas in the name of Rav that much? You're ready to part with your Matnas Kahuna? You're ready to share with me the side of beef? Amar lei in. And Rav Chista gave the obvious answer. Yep. So Amar lei hanad Amar Rav milsa abishaya yikare. So he says, oh, that's so funny. You know, I heard another halacha by Rav, which is that milsa, the clothing, abishayu yikire. You know who loves clothing the most? The one who owns the clothing. Meaning that when you have an article of clothing that you're super comfortable with, so you put it on and you're gonna appreciate, you're gonna like it more than anybody else would. And so when you are a student of Rav, so you're gonna like his shmuas, his memras more than anyone else would. Amalei Amar Rav Hachi.
So Rav Chista said, did Rav also teach you that one as well? Basraisa adifa leme kamaisa. I like that one more than the first one. V'yahava nikitna achrita yavinalach. And if I had more manas kahuna to give out right now, I'd give you even more manas kahuna. So clearly Rav Chista was to say the least, was a fan of the members of Rav. And the Gemara just simply demonstrated that in this last episode. We're just going to do one more piece. Amar Rav Mechasi, Amar Rav Chama, Barguri, Amar Rav, La'olam, Ayishana Adam Beno, Bein Abanim. A person should not treat any one of his sons different than his other sons. Shebishvil Mishkal Shnei Salayim, Milas. Shenasun Yaakov LiYosef, Yosef Mishar Banav, Nitkanu Bo Echav, Nisgalgal Hadavar V'yardu Avaseinu, Limitzrayim. So none other than Yaakov himself made this mistake. And because of a article of clothing, a milas, that was valued at 2 salayim, that Yaakov gave to Yosef, which stirred the jealousy of the other brothers, so the matter rolled, and our forefathers went down to Mitzrayim, and the Gemara over here is very clear that it is not a good idea to favor any one of your children. Tosfos over here points out, wasn't Avraham Avinu promised that we were going to go down to Mitzrayim? And so why is the Gemara over here putting any kind of blame on the actions of Yaakov having favored Yosef as the cause for us going down to Mitzrayim? Tosfos over here points out, Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Hachi Garcin Eskagal Adavar, V'yardu Avasil Mitzrayim, V'afakav Debalav Hachi, Nigzar Dechsi V'ivdum V'inu Osam. So we do have the pasuk back earlier that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised at Bris Ben Amisarim that to Avram Avinu that we were going to be slaves. So Shem Eloya Nigzar Aleim Inui Kolkach. Ela Ayide Zeh. Shari Arba Meyoshana Yitzchulu Kodim Shanola Yitzchak Lamishanim. So Tosha suggests, well, maybe had it not been for Yaakov and Yosef, so maybe the Shibud wouldn't have been as amplified. And the Inui and the suffering wouldn't have been that great. So perhaps that could have been the difference in terms of if it just were Avram as opposed to now it also involves the favoritism that was showed from Yaakov to Yosef. Let's quickly recap our morning. We discussed Mariv, whether it's a Rishus or a Chova, and assuming that it's a Chova, so then one has to stop in the middle of the meal in order to dab Mariv. The Gemara says, my Mincha, you didn't have to stop. What's the difference? The Gemara gave two distinctions between Mincha and Mariv. One being that Mincha has a set time, and so therefore you're going to be less likely to neglect it. And also the drinking habits of people. People have maybe one drink in the afternoon, but at night they'll have more than that. Gemara talked about preparing ourselves when davening, proper dress when davening. So some wore a belt and had a regal look when they daven. Some actually took their cloak off when they davened. The Gemara, in resolving that, says it depends on the state of the world. State of the world is in distress. State of the Jews are in distress. So then one should have a more impoverished look when approaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the state of the world is in Shalom, so one should have a more dignified look. Why wear a belt during davening? So we discussed that in Tosfos in terms of perhaps it's a function of making a separation between Lei Ve'erva. That's what Tosfos quotes in the name of Machzer Vitri. We discussed this morning on the Amud Aleph, when does Din begin? It's either going to be Ituf when the Dayanim wrap themselves up. We explained a couple of reasons why the judges wrap themselves up when they sit down for Din. Or maybe it's when the plaintiffs start offering their arguments in front of the judges. The Gemara says, actually, there's no Stira. The Gemara talks about what time should the judges be sitting in judgment. And for that, the Gemara says that really only up to the first meal of the day, which for Talmid HaChachamim are at the end of the morning. And we went through the schedule of when that first meal is had in the day. Talmid HaChachamim have the first meal of the day only at the end of the morning. And that's going to be the last time that you're really going to be able to sit in judgment. It's true that by Moshe Rabbeinu we said that Moshe Rabbeinu did judge the entire day, but the Gemara says, but don't take that literally. Can't be. Moshe is responsible for the transmission of the Torah. He only judged in the morning. And the only point that the Torah wanted to make is that when a judge judges correctly, he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in creation. We said over a halacha this morning on the Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, regarding davening in the bathhouse. The Gemara says that one is allowed to do so. The Gemara says it's difficult because the Braisa says you're not allowed to do so. And the Gemara suggests that perhaps the allowance to daven in the bathhouse is only if the bathhouse has never been used before. once it's used, so then it has a bit of an odor. Not as bad as a bathroom, but still it has a bit of an odor, and so therefore it's not an appropriate place to daven. But if it's never been used before, so then you're allowed to daven in the bathroom. I'm sorry, in the bathhouse. The Gemara notes that even if it was dedicated, it doesn't share the same halacha as a bathroom. A dedicated bathroom, even though it's never been used, that for sure is not for sure. But that you should not daven in. But a dedicated bathhouse is not as egregious. And then we went over a number of halachas on the Amud Beis. One is that Shalom is one of the Shemos Hashem, and therefore Shalom should not be extended in the bathhouse or in any places where you're not allowed to say Shem Hashem. A second halacha is the when you give a gift to somebody, you have to let them know that you are the gifter, and you should not be giving anonymous gifts. And perhaps the Gemara doesn't make this point super clear, but perhaps it's because it wants to engender reus between people, and so therefore you should let them know that you are the gifter. And the Gemara spent some time on this idea. And the last halacha that we learned this morning is that when raising your children, so one should not show any particular favoritism of one over the other.